panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
3CR 855am, 3CR digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR on demand, out of the pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Now Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Hence, we played Jimmy Barnes' Daylight from the Body Swerve album, his first ever solo album from years ago. 3CR broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the intersection of the contested lands of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples, and we pay respect to elders past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander First Nations people tuning in from wherever you are. You are most welcome to be listening in. And we acknowledge that all the lands on this big island and many surrounding smaller ones were stolen and never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronouns she and her, and Out of the Pan is a show, as I like to say, covering pansexual issues, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender, and more broadly, welcome to listeners of all genders, including, but not limited to, ladies and gentlemen. And there's lots of ways to get in touch with this program. All the modern means of communication and some established ones. You can email outofthepan855@gmail.com. You can SMS 61456 751215. You can go on Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky or Mastodon and look for @SalGoldSaidSo. And that's the bottom line. And posts on Facebook, Sally Goldner and Out of the Pan 3CR 855 AM Melbourne. And the traditional means of postal address, PO Box 1277 Collingwood 3066. Any opinions I express on the show are strictly my own. Don't foresee any content notes today. I'll do them if we need them. We might be talking about topics generally, but, well, Fringe Festival now in full swing. I did go along to a show last night at the last minute, a very funny show looking at the Church of Scientology court case in 1984 trying to get religious exemptions, and the fact that four comedians could pull something funny out of that shows their skill, and it was very skillful and dexterous, including lots of puns where they talked about profits and then said, oh no, our organisation is non-profit. You got to love it. There's a pun at 7 minutes and 35 seconds in. That's this sort of show. Somewhere I'll squeak in an obligatory wrestling reference. Remember, there is the running gag about could you guess where it is. As I said, opened up with Jimmy Barnes' Daylight because we're now in daylight savings time. So if you put your clocks forward, they fell off the mantelpiece to do that old gag. But I've got someone in the studio who does much better comedy than me. And all the way from Aotearoa, joining me in the studios is Lily Catastrophe. Lily, welcome to the 3CR studios.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
If it's okay to ask, can I clarify which pronouns you use, if any?
Yes, my pronouns are she, her.
She, her, two of us here in the studio, she, her-ing. And you've got a very, well, I think a show that goes, well, right to the gist of trans issues, but you're going to put your perspective on it because you've got the show in Melbourne Fringe called Bottom Surgery. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so Bottom Surgery is a mostly solo variety comedy cabaret, as I've described it. It details my experience trying to get bottom surgery through New Zealand's public health system. Spoiler alert, I did failed to get it through the public health system.
Oh.
I do burlesque, I do poetry, I do a little bit of circus, I do some stand-up comedy. It's just a whole smorgasbord of the practices that I've worked with themed around me trying to get that bottom surgery through the public health system.
Yep, so it is pan-genre, yeah. You could say, which we like, and that's always a good thing. There's so many things that have already come out of that I want to talk to you about all of the things. So many parts. I mean, how long have you been doing performance and arts? Because there's so many genres in there. And I mean, how did it come about? Did you try different ones? Did you just sort of throw them all into, as we like to say on this show, into the pan, so to speak?
Yeah.
How did it all come about? What's the journey been for you as a performer?
So as a performer, I actually started doing pole dance in 2020. I didn't really become a pole performer necessarily, but it was something that I transitioned in 2019, and I wanted to stay fit and I wanted to stay kind of moving and active. Good. And so I took up pole dancing, and a couple of my friends who were pole dancers did burlesque, and so I got kind of convinced into going into one burlesque class in 2021, and I fell in love with the art form. I fell in love with kind of just like walking around on stage, focusing on me as a presence in a room, without kind of the pole that really was more like a fitness situation for me. So that was kind of the start of me going on stage and then performing in front of audiences. From there, I decided to do comedy because during Comedy Festival, New Zealand International Comedy Festival last year, I was a part of a show called The Transgender Agender that my friend Jules Daniel was putting on, and that was an all-trans lineup of comedians and other practices, and I saw a whole lot of really, really cool comedians do really, really cool trans stuff.
Yeah.
And that inspired me to kind of get into comedy, and so now I've been doing comedy since July last year, so it's just been just over a year, and yeah, here we are.
There we go. So you've combined burlesque in comedy, Well, you can talk and dance at once.
We could try.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, that's a challenging thing to do. Either one of them. And then do bits of them in the one show, but together, fair enough, maybe not. You say also it's a mostly one-woman show.
Yes.
Who else is with you during the show, in what capacity?
So I've got my partner. He is the stage manager, but he also does MCs. So he MCs the show.
Ah.
And he also appears on stage a couple of times.
All right. So do you have to do any proverbial quick changes, costume changes?
Yeah, there are a number of really fast costume changes where I have to dash backstage and I have to get changed really quickly. So, yes, that's probably the moment when my partner will come out and move the set around and stuff. Yeah.
Yep. So all well planned. And so you have to dash, 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 and away you go. I very much personally related to the world of boys' schools and girl failures. Tell us more about that bit.
Yeah, so I went to an all-boys school. That was me growing up in high school, and it was a fun time for me. I had a really interesting time there. But I think for me, that is such a foundational part of my experience as a trans woman now. Mm-hmm. Like, it has, you know, kind of been a really integral part of my development, and a lot of who I am now, I, you know, do have that time at boys' school to thank. And so the show goes a little bit into just like my experience with people and with boys and with, you know, other teenagers, coming to understand that I was not quite the same as them.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did you, you know, you thank them, and you kind of answered that, or hinted nicely at it, yeah.
Mm.
So you were able to realize, you know, it's sort of in a way that maybe, perhaps, I'd be honest, since my first thought was, how are you going to thank them? Maybe not ideal, but it did sort of help get you realizing, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah. So there's that angle to it. The thing is, there is very, very much of great importance. There is, you know, the advocacy angle to this, because you said you didn't get, surgery through the public system in New Zealand. I mean,
yeah.
Perhaps as much as you're aware, what is the system, the process for publicly funded surgery in New Zealand about? Mm. So let's start generally, and then perhaps, you know, what happened for you?
Yeah. So the public system has a like nominal pathway. So you have to go through all of the, you know, the psych checks and all of that kind of stuff, and then you get put on a wait list for a first specialist assessment, quote unquote. Yeah. I was on that wait list for 5 years.
Whoa.
And that isn't the wait list for the surgery, that's a wait list for a wait list. And when I was kind of 3 years into that wait list, I emailed them and I was like, hey, what is happening? Like, do you have any indication as to what the timeline is going to look like? How long will it be before I saw my first specialist assessment to get on the wait list for surgery? And the Ministry of Health in New Zealand basically came back to me and were like, we don't know. We can't give you a good answer. Everyone has different circumstances. It's completely different. So we actually just can't tell you. We don't know how far along you are. What they did say was that I had been, and this is their words, I'd been on the wait list for a reasonably short amount of time.
Wow.
Yeah. So there is a public health system. It's very under-resourced, and we that is its own thing. Within surgery itself as well, we only have one surgeon in New Zealand who can do the surgery.
Yeah.
And so that is itself a huge bottleneck as well. And so I looked at that situation and I basically was like, I don't want to wait any longer. I don't want to have to basically defer what I knew I wanted my life to be like any further. And so a lot of the story of the show as well is about kind of how I managed to go private. So I ended up fundraising privately and being able to get bottom surgery through that pathway. But yeah, so that is what ended up happening.
Yeah, wow. I mean, 5 years, I mean, you know, the idea that there'd be a wait list and you don't even have a light at the end of the tunnel just is abhorrent. It's, you know, it's thankfully less here, although still significant. Mm. And it can also vary. Australia has varying systems around each state and territory, which make it complicated. Mm. The thing is, regardless, surgery is only done in the private sector due to, well, government spinelessness, but that's another story. most people know. And currently we're trying to get funding from, our surgeries 75% funded by Medicare, and they claim they don't have enough evidence of the benefits. We'll do a simultaneous vomiting here in the studio. So, yeah, I think you'll find a lot of empathy from trans and cis-allied so-called Australians here very, very much. Yeah, so, I mean, it is, it says here that bottom surgery is a part plea for accessible trans healthcare, which we need. Trans bodies on stage, and it details the wins, losses, and plain confusing parts of living as a transgender woman. I mean, in amongst it all, in amongst the serious stuff, perhaps tease us with a couple of the fun, confusing parts.
Yeah, I think just one of the things that I found the funniest are just the number, the types of questions that people who aren't trans, or even people who kind of are, thinking about it, will come to me with around, you know, getting surgery or having had the surgery.
Yeah.
One of the funniest questions that I've been asked was, can you have kids now, in the kind of, you know, biological quote-unquote sense?
Yeah.
Which, you know, I just, it was, it when I got asked that, it just completely floored me, because I was like, oh, like, you truly don't understand how any of this works.
Yes. No, those, as far as I'm aware, those assigned male don't get an ovary transplant or something like that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so those are kind of the kind of stranger bits. Other things are just, you know, kind of that experience of figuring out that you are trans, I think, is also just very funny, because it's so weird. It's like such a weird experience. And you kind of make these like little concessions with yourself and with other people, and you spend lots of time just like trying to understand what it means to be gender. And I think that is that there's a lot of humor to be found there as well.
Well, definitely. There is humor in the journey, I think that to some extent we can end up laughing at the what I'll call the limited constructs of, I'm going to say, Western society when it comes to sex and gender.
Mm.
I don't really like the gender is a construct sort of simplicity. Mm. It's when gender is a limiting idea that the construct's a problem.
Yeah.
And the idea that because someone has a particular set of genitals at birth, they're good at maths but have no empathy, please. Or the other set of genitals, they've got empathy but no, can't do maths. Yeah. I mean, honestly, those sort of ideas, again, simultaneous vomit in 3CR studio. So, I think, though, when you can laugh at it, it adds a lot. And you've been winning awards as well. Best Cabaret at Fringe Festival, yes. 2025. That must have been pretty cool.
Super incredible. Yeah, like, I this is my first production, so this is my first time putting on a solo show, a mostly solo show. Just completely floored by the reaction that I've had back at home in New Zealand of people just really loving the show and also coming up to me afterwards and being like, thank you so much for sharing this, because lots of people love to use the word brave, and I will take the word brave because I think it's a nice word.
Yeah.
People are really moved by this show in a way that I had not expected it to. Yeah.
Yeah. No, look, I'm with you on brave. I mean, there's worse things to be called than brave.
Yeah.
Although I'm well aware that some people from, I'll use the word discriminated against groups, can find it patronizing or something, or there's inspiration porn, as a late the wonderful late great disability activist here, Stella Young, used to say. But look, there's worse things to be than me personally, there's worse things to be than inspirational porn. Totally respect the viewpoints on that sort of thing. So I think it's let's bring on some bravery. And we were saying just before we came on, on air, we need everything at the moment, that we have to face the reality that this is a very challenging time for trans people around the world, especially in places like, lots of places, but what have been so-called traditional small-L liberal Western democracies, the UK and the USA, are in very tumultuous states for trans people and lots of people, and so we need bravery. Is a good thing.
Yeah.
And what would you want to say to trans people anywhere who are perhaps struggling with their own particular situation and we'll say what appears to be the world situation?
I think it is really difficult at the moment, and it's scary and it's tough, and I think that you should, if you are trans and you're really struggling with it, you should be really gentle with yourself and give yourself the grace to have that, have whatever response you have to that situation. I also think that the loudest voices in the room are the ones that are really scary. But the majority of people don't actually share that view. Majority of people don't care about how your regular person lives their life, and we as trans people are part of that. We're just people living our lives. Like, we go out, we go get coffee, we go to work, we make small talk, da 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 da, all of that normal stuff, right? And I think that when most people see the reality of how we live our lives, it has no impact on them, and they understand that it has no impact on them. And so I think it's good to have that reaction and to have that really justified reaction to what is really scary and going on, but ultimately, keep going, because that's all we can do.
Look, there's two things in what you've said, and there's a telepathy here is really happening, because I'm a big fan, nothing to do with trans, Mel Robbins, who's famous for the phrase, let them, that's her sort of catchphrase, but she has a podcast, which is very, very good, and she interviewed someone during the week who did research, granted American-based, but I think that says something, that 80% of, a lot of the messages on social media do come from the same people, so it's a disproportionate amount of the loud voices. But American research, actual real research, has found 80% of Americans plus do want free speech. They may not agree on every detail, but they want it and all these things, and they want better health care and those sorts of things. So I don't know exactly how, well, apart, you know, well, apart from just doing what we do and be ourselves and be decent people, which is a start at least, the full details of how we can get this power and concentration of power sort of watered down and get back to what I'll call something that looks like a genuine and theoretical democracy. But I totally agree with you. And I was very heartened by that, that A, the, you know, the, it is this loud voice syndrome and trolls and bots. Oh, and what is it? At least 25% of the conversations you've probably had on social media are with bots, not real humans, which is not surprising. I don't, you know, I'm very cautious about who I add on social media and all that sort of thing, and check if it's a bot account and if there's no posts on it, sorry, no, all that sort of thing, if it's Insta or whatever. So all that sort of thing. I think that it's really important to keep reminding ourselves of that, particularly when the concentration of social and so-called traditional media is in the hands of so few. So I think that's really important. Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say, you mentioned having coffee. how long have you been in Melbourne now?
I've been in Melbourne for the past 2 days. So I flew in yesterday morning.
And are you enjoying the coffee?
I am. I am enjoying the coffee. I come from Wellington, New Zealand. So we have a really good coffee culture in Wellington as well. And Melbourne is very comparable.
This is good. Well, one day I will get to New Zealand if I'm in, if I can ever afford these things. I've never actually been to New Zealand. I've only, in the old days, when as a little kid, a schnitter, when we went off to America and you could go there, you know, you flew Air New Zealand, you'd go Melbourne, Auckland, Nandi in Fiji, Honolulu, then the West Coast. Those were the bad old days. So, but that's the closest I've been to being on New Zealand, Aotearoan soil. So I have to remedy this because I, for everything, the countryside looks beautiful and it's, there's good coffee and there's good cities and good people. So that sounds like a good thing.
Yeah.
Tell us where, tell us the details of bottom surgery, Lily, catastrophe. Where do we see it and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, so bottom surgery is running from the 8th to the 11th of October at Club Voltaire in North Melbourne. It is at 10:30 p.m. And if you are a trans person or if you're just cool with trans folk, you can get 20% off tickets by using the code TRANSRIGHTS, no spaces.
All right, and is that lowercase or uppercase?
I don't think it's case specific, but just use all lowercase.
It's non-binary. Hooray!
Yeah.
We like that too.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome, Lily. All the best for a fantastic season bottom surgery, and thank you for coming into 3CR.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lily Catastrophe there on Out of the Pan on 3CR. Let's have some more musics. Let's have... because it's lined up and ready to go. Michelle Parsons and, be careful crossing the roads. Look twice. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. Tonight.
for some loving tonight. But you get so swept up, so caught up in those city lights. Try to be behind the words you hear, even when they're holding you near. I don't want to see another broken heart. So baby,
Victoria is a not-for-profit organisation dedicated to equality and justice for multigender attracted people, including bi, pan, regardless of label, or no label at all. We organise community events and advocate for better policies and services. Bi Plus Pride runs discussion groups which offer a safe and fun space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your sexual identity, and provide peer support. Bi Plus Pride is especially keen to hear from multi-gender attracted people in regional and rural Victoria. Donations to Bi Plus Pride are tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at biplusprideVic.org.au, email info@biplusprideVic.org.au, or find us on Facebook or Instagram.
A 3CR supporter.
I'm bisexual.
Out of the Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
...3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au and 3CR On Demand. Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. And we just heard from our sponsor. Thank you, Go Kindly, as always, for sponsoring Out of the Pan. It is hugely appreciated and very, very much glad to have you part of the 3CR family. If you want to sponsor one of the 3CR programs, call during office hours 9419 8377 and start the ball rolling if you think you're someone who could support 3CR. And, well, it's all happening on the arts front at the moment. Not only is it Fringe Festival, there's always people wanting to do more arts, and I'm joined in the studio by someone who is, well, a very comfortable person in that chair opposite me. Has been in many, many times, but because they do great art. And it's welcome back, I think we can say, to Jesse Ryan. Jesse, welcome back to the Out of the Pan microphone.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
You're not in Fringe this time, no?
No, not in Fringe this time. I'm a festival judge for dance and physical theatre. So, yeah, it's taking a kind of backseat role, which is awesome for a change.
Fair enough. Yeah. But I imagine you still get to see lots of amazeball shows. I'm not going to say which ones or which ones you've enjoyed in light of that. But I've just got to say, I mean, it sounds obvious and maybe cliche, but it is just an amazingly packed festival.
Yeah, it's a privilege to be a judge as well.
Yeah, oh gosh, to see all those amazing shows. But post-Fringe, yes, for Fringe artists who are, you know, recovering from their hangovers and reaching for the coffee this morning, particularly after 1 hour less sleep last night, you know, sort of there is arts life after Fringe, and you're already thinking about that. And that's what you're here for, to talk about the fact that you're wanting to fundraise for a new arts project. Tell us about Skin and what you are hoping to achieve.
Yeah, so Skin kind of picks up where Crave, which was my last Midsummer Presents project earlier this year, left off. So Skin looks at the personal stories and histories told by the cartographic language of tattoos on queer bodies. It has six community participants. It involves an exhibition, which is an immersive video experience with interviews, and then a performance in which those six community members will have donated 4 to 5 word statements relating to the project, of which will be tattooed to my body live in front of an audience as part of a larger performance piece.
Wow. That is different. I mean, this person over here who had many years ago had enough trouble getting my ears pierced because I was so scared of potential pain from it, and it turned out it wasn't that bad, is sort of made an interesting face in the studio, which did not go to air because it's radio listeners of all genders. The idea you'd have all these things tatted onto you, you know, live, wow. Yeah, that's an incredible sort of idea to have, to get these statements. So you're looking, so this is personal stories, histories and stories of diverse rainbow community members.
Yeah, 100%. And I think at the moment, like, it's definitely time for these gender-affirming works. And I'm really interested in, like, how we can, or I more so, can create something of permanence. And, you know, that kind of fleeting nature of theatre, how can we create something within those 90 minutes that is permanent?
Yep.
Until, you know, until I die myself, and then those words will die with me. So it's the one thing I've never seen on stage before now. In, you know, however many years I've been a critic as well as an artist. So I was really trying to push the binary of what performance can be.
Okay. Yeah, well, so you were after, what was it, 5 or 6? Now, I am, with great respect, sitting across from you in your sleeveless top, outfit on this lovely, warm October spring day.
It's here divine. In Rome. Yeah.
And there's some space on the arms, but...
they're going straight down my ribs.
Okay, then.
So that's going to be great fun.
Wow, I am not a tattooing expert, but 101 tells me that the arms are the easier, sort of more fleshy part for those wanting a tattoo, but going, ooh, is it going to hurt? So you're going down the ribs.
Yeah, I really want to... I want to create something that we can, like, direct and sculpt, but only to a certain point. Like, there's this live risk and element in this in this act, which is quite radical and, you know, quite punk. And anything could happen. So that's kind of what I'm excited about right now.
Well, yeah, let's go through it then. I mean, obviously early stages yet. You've got to get the people who want to get their words, and we'll come back to that in a little while. But first of all, I mean, there's two things that come to mind. Have you got a tattooist, tattoo artist lined up to do it?
Yeah, so Danny V, shout out to the amazing Danny. He's been doing my tattoos for, I think, as long as I've been getting tattoos. I think most of my body is done by Danny. And like when I came out of hospital the first time when I had all those issues, it was the first place I went. It was my nail technician and my tattoo artist. And I'm sitting there with, you know, like wound pumps and vacs and the rest of it. And Danny's like, you sure you want to do this? I'm like, it's been staring at me unfinished in hospital for 5 weeks. Just get in and get it done, you know?
So to go back to your first comedic show, you sort of had a functional bottom, so to speak.
Yeah, more or less. I mean,
and
you know.
Wanted to get the functional tattoos.
Give or take a couple of holes, but yeah. It was functioning.
Functioning, yep. Well, you know, our first guest today, Lily Catastrophe, showed bottom surgery, and now we've gone to functional bottom. Now we're going to tattoos, so it's very bodily.
Yeah.
Bodily functions on out of the pan. That's us. Now, the question is, I mean, you know, obviously you want to fundraise for the project. Again, we'll come back to that. But I suppose the question some people ask is, oh, how are we going to do this seriously? How are we going to do this safely for you, for everyone on stage? Because, I mean, you know, there's, I imagine there's some sort of regulations that tattoo parlors and the like have to deal with to do it all safely. How are you going to manage that?
Yeah, 100%. I've been really fortunate in my timing that Raucous, the amazing disability-led arts Indeed. Company, are doing their own tattoo show, which is very similar to mine, for Melbourne Fringe Festival this year. So I'm able to learn a lot of lessons from that company and what they go through. And, yeah, kind of copy and paste the risk management and apply it to this setting. But it's also like similar to when you go to like live, you know, music gigs and, you know, particularly the Gasso, where you have tattooists working within those spaces. So it's the same insurance, the same risk management, same, everything is done very safely. And that's, you know, that's the number one rule in theatre. You have to be within a safe space to be able to bring audiences in, you know, ethically, I guess.
Yep.
Mm.
Cool. Yeah. Wow. I'm just sort of multitasking here to look at Raucous's show, the which is called Tattoo Show, which is on the 15th to the 19th of October. So there's something to look forward to.
And it's been interesting as well because neither myself or Raucous knew that we were working on these shows independently, but just recently in the last 2 weeks, the State Library of Queensland has also announced an exhibition on memento mori and tattoos in, you know, in lieu of, you know, personal memorials of people who have died or passed on. So it seems like a bit of a bigger thing already.
All right. So we've got, you know, we've got plenty of safe process stuff. Let's drill in. You know, the queer stories you're wanting, what sort of, you know, sort of people stories are you after? Let's just get that detailed, you know, nailed down a bit more.
Yeah, 100%. So I've already started on the exhibition component. So of the six spaces, I've already filled four or five at the moment. So these are all people that I've kind of, let's be honest, met on nights out, you know, along Smith Street and in the kind of queer ghetto that we are in right now in Collingwood. But these people have got strong ties to the local area. They've got strong ties to the local community. So we're talking about people who have migrated to Australia as young children and how that kind of process kind of sits alongside more contemporary experiences as well. Of course, touching upon like the queer, you know, the queer spectrum, there are some difficult subject matters that bring, that do come up, obviously. But again, in, you know, the rule of safety, everything is packaged very well. It's, you know, there's space to breathe, space to take things in, space to reflect. So things are going to be handled in those kinds of ways. Each of the interviews is around 5 to 6 minutes. So if anyone came and saw Crave, you'd know that those interviews were about 15 minutes in length. This is about very much a compact version, but still packing the same punch and exploring those same kind of universal themes.
Yep. Or packing the same needle, so to speak. yeah, all right. So you've got the messages. You know, so there's the show coming together. I mean, obviously, well, I'm not sure if you've thought of a venue.
Yeah, we're going to be at 14 Langridge Street Gallery, which is one of the last kind of industrial warehouse gallery spaces left in Collingwood, which says a lot. I was in the last performance in the Patterson's Building, which is one of many warehouse spaces which have been turned into residential apartments, you know. So, yeah, we are in early February. I can't say the dates or the festival that we're attached to, but I can say that we are at Langridge.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Who said the word embargo? No, I know what you mean. We might know more by later in the year, allegedly, in someone's
allegedly,
opinion.
Allegedly, yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool. It's an amazing concept. I mean, was there a moment of, this is one of my favourite questions. I know the long-suffering listeners to this show will know I ask it a lot. Was there a moment of inspiration for you to say, oh, this sounds like an interesting arts project, I'm going to do it?
It came about from a review that was speaking about the ethereal nature of the last performance piece, that some parts were transitory, some parts were, you know, ephemeral. And that was really like, well, how can I create something which combats these like three adjectives that were used? They weren't negative adjectives, but like when you've been creating work for 20 plus years, you kind of have to grow a little bit, you know? So I took that away, and maybe over a few drinks, I was like, let's get tattooed on stage. And then the idea worked back from there.
So you've been doing art since you were five. Yes.
I'm 37 in like 3 weeks. So,
okay.
Yeah. A while, a long while actually now.
Yeah. And so, yeah, a different approach, very, very bold and, innovative and, you know, which as a creative is a good thing, I would guess, for you. I mean, how do you keep creating? I mean, and do you ever get, I'll say, creative, you know, and have you experienced periods of creative block and all that sort of thing?
Oh, my God, yes. So Crave, my last show, was one of those things where I don't know, across 8 months, I only managed to write like 13 pages of script, and we just had to stick with it because I had no artistic drive to write anything of merit for Crave, but then we worked with what we had and it turned out that it was perfect in its own kind of way. But absolutely, I feel I had to get a lot of stuff out of my system through that creatively, and I feel I've got the flow back again, which is great, fantastic. Cool. But yeah. Writer's block sucks. Any writers out there will know what writer's block is like, and it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it feels, and we can go through it for all sorts of reasons, or even perhaps none at all. I suppose it can just happen that maybe mental health stress or mental health stuff, stress, trauma, all those sort of things are going to, be a factor, but sometimes it just doesn't flow. We don't even know why. Maybe we figure it out afterwards, but it must feel great as a creative to have it back.
And I guess I'm not necessarily borrowing from other people's narratives, but I'm finding inspiration in this process as well. So, you know, it's really lovely, you know, and it's beautiful to be a custodian of those kind of stories as well and have that trust of the participants to carry on.
That's given me the proverbial nice warm feeling inside, Jesse. I think, and you know, look, we're needing that, as we know, we need that at the moment in terms of community. We need some warmth and we need to build each other. And in a way, what you're doing, in your creative, radical way, you're definitely doing that by putting these stories onto your body. You know, I think also there's the intergenerational aspect that comes in here because, we tend to lose stories, I think, in our community. How much was that a factor in your decision?
Community elders and the stories of, like, the people who came before me is always front and centre. Like, I had a real light bulb moment in the last few years. Definitely, like, preserving is really important, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely. It's always there. It's definitely always there because we learn so much from where we've come from, and there's so much wisdom and knowledge that is unfortunately lost. And you're correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this will, in its way, will help keep that rolling along. When you're not quite on stage, but not up front at the moment. And you are you're doing judging as well, but what else keeps you going at the moment?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure. I think community at the moment is just keeping me going.
Yeah,
you know, like coming off such a large project into another quite large project, it's just like the time that I have with my friends, you know, and helping others. That really keeps me going at the moment. Oh, you're getting me all teary. This.
Well, we should release. All right. I've just got a couple of messages to play and then come back and finish our conversation with Jesse Ryan, who's fundraising for a new project, Skin. And then we'll wrap up the show and make way for Freedom of Species. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
Yep. LGBTIQA Plus Multicultural Fair Day will be held in the city of Whittlesea this year. Funded by Whittlesea City Council and auspiced by Australian LGBTIQA Plus Multicultural Multifaith Council, the fair will have a strong human rights, social justice focus as experienced through an intersectional lens. The event is held in a safe, supportive, inclusive space consisting of art and skills-based workshops by Street Art Doyle Blender Studio, African drumming, recycled fashion and sustainable gardening, information stalls, food and giveaways. The LGBTIQA Plus Multicultural Fair Day, Saturday, November 8th, 3:30 till 7:30 p.m. at the Barry Road Community Activity Centre, 36 Barry Road, Thomastown. On-site parking available, entry is free and all are welcome. Whittlesea City Council is a 3CR supporter.
If you like rock and roll, tune in to Shake, Rattle and Roll and you will hear rock and roll, rockabilly, rhythm and blues, doo-wop, country rock, pop and a lot more. Remember, Shake, Rattle and Roll, now on Saturday nights from 8 p.m. to 9:30, only on 3CR.
...3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Come back to finish my conversation with Jesse Ryan in just a second, but just a few things to mention. Next week on the show, it's guests aplenty again, as we're right in the middle of Fringe. Very much so. And next week on the show, I'll have Charlie Wan and Courtney Maldo. Courtney is doing lots of things in Fringe, including a solo comedy show, but also has an event on tonight, which, of course, I had to mention when I heard about this one. Here it is at 7 minutes to one, the obligatory wrestling reference, Club Fringe Smackdown. So I had to... that's at the Festival Hub Trades Hall Common Rooms. Are you ready to rumble? Artists from across the festival throw down in this night of category combat. Representatives from different genres will go head-to-head, creating performance in a category wildly outside their comfort zone. So poets performing experimental dance, comedians putting their burlesque skills to the test, and absolutely no actualizing. Oh, boo, hiss, boo, you heel. Choose your fighter, choose here your champion. So Courtney Maldo is your host, and there's a circus genre, contemporary dance genres include Lily Catastrophe is going to be, who just was in, is going to be part of the contemporary dance and burlesque, Jet Bond and Mel McClinsey. I made burlesque more to help in contemporary dance, but of course it's not the same thing. There you go. So that will be lots of fun, as there is in Melbourne Fringe. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Freedom of Species, and today on the show, the team will be having a chat about the future of veganism, right at the heart of their show. So there it is. But coming back to quickly finish our chat with Jesse Ryan before Freedom of Species. Jesse, very quickly, what more specifically are you needing to raise funds for to put this show skin on and up front?
Absolutely. So thanks to all my lovely networks and community, we've got the exhibition materials pretty much down pat and finished. So in the lieu of anywhere up to 10 grant applications, shout out to any other artists who know that kind of hustle, we're looking to cover the costs of presentations. That's things like AV hire, our projectors for the 3 days of the exhibition, and also towards creative fees as well. So there's a whole gamut of things that we need to cover at the moment. Everything after presentation onwards is a large pile that we need to kind of cross off. And I guess what I'm really asking is for the community to come on a journey with this project as well. So, like, if you can chip in, follow it on social media as it gets built. There'll be a few teasers coming out next month as well. And it's just, this time for the arts and media in Australia is not great. So any help that we can get from any parts of the community or, you know, broader community is really, really appreciated at this point.
Yep. Oh, absolutely agree. So if they want to help you, how do they help skin a new multidisciplinary arts project by Jesse Ryan?
Yeah, so we just started a GoFundMe page today. I think if you search for Skin Jesse Ryan on the platform, it should bring it up for you.
Yep, I'll pop a link to that along with the link to Lily Catastrophe Show into the podcast link, and people will be able to find it. Jesse, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much, as always, Sally.
I've got to head out of here. We've got to head out of here and make way for Freedom of Species to talk all things vegan, vegetarian and animal advocacy, as they say, talking about the future of veganism today. Take it out today. I think we can't get enough of this. And Heather Small, and what have you done today to make yourself feel proud?
Oh, I love this song.
There we go. So we've got one fan already. You're all fans out there. Thanks so much to Lily Catastrophe and Jesse Ryan for joining me on the show today. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next week.
I look into the window of my mind. Reflections of the fears I know I've left behind. I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop. So many answers I don't know.
There are so many answers.
Realize that to question is how we grow.
To question is to grow.
So I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop.
So do it today, yeah. 'Cause I can see you there horizon.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.